Mike has done the book two of the Psalms, and so we're in the Psalm book. If you don't have that, be sure to pick one of those up. The 18th was the 40th day prior to, and so we should have already started that. But if you don't have if you've missed a couple days, don't worry. There's not a test. You just want to catch up. All right, and it's a great study. So I encourage you to use that book. So let's look at the Gospel of Matthew this evening. And I want to take a running start to verse 36 and set the setting for what we see in this passage. So we see in verse 30, chapter 26 of Matthew, verse 30, and when they had sung a hymn. Well, when? Right after dinner. And you are very familiar with this passage, so I won't spend a lot of time on that, but Jesus had just finished what we call the Last Supper. He had set in place the ordinance of the Lord's Supper, and he had demonstrated to his disciples on that evening what we celebrate when we celebrate the Lord's Supper. And at that time, Jesus probably, with that fourth cup that they set aside at the Last Supper, the cup of Elijah, he probably took that cup, and it's probably at that time that he said, "This cup, you will remember the sacrifice of my blood from this point forward." So after dinner, they went out from Jerusalem, and they went to the Mount of Olives. And Jesus said to them, "All of you will be made to stumble because of me this night, for it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. But after I have been raised, I will go before you to Galilee." Peter answered and said to him, "Even if all are made to stumble because of you, I will never be made to stumble." Jesus said to him, "Assuredly, I say to you that this night, before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times." Peter said to him, Even if I have to die with you, I will not deny you." And so said all the disciples. Then Jesus came with him to a place called Gethsemane and said to the disciples, "Sit here while I go and pray over there." And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and he began to be sorrowful and deeply distressed. And he said to them, "My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to the point of death. Stay here and watch with me." This evening, I want to take a look at that word watch. Most of the time when we get to this passage of the New Testament, we look at Matthew 26, we're looking at the ministry of Jesus and the actions of Jesus. And we know that right after this point, he goes into the garden further and he prays. And we see that prayer written out more specifically and detailed in John chapter 17. But that's not what I'm going to look at with you tonight. What I want us to look at is these words of Jesus to his disciples, where he would turn to them and say, there's a direction, there's a directive, there's a command, there's an important point that Jesus is saying to his disciples. And the point that he says to them is, watch. So what does that mean? When Jesus turned to his disciples in the most intimate and the most crucial time of his life, and he told his disciples, "Watch with me," what did he mean? And so that's what we're going to look at together this evening. Remain here and watch with me. As I studied this passage, I went on a word search, a little word journey. I have a tendency of doing that when I study the Bible. I want to, if this word caught my attention and the Lord brought it to my mind, I want to see what that word means. And so I invite you to go on that little search with me. From my study, I'm sharing it with you, what this word watch means in the Scriptures. I failed to say earlier I appreciate the musicians. Thanks so much for that. What a wonderful way to prepare our hearts for God's word. Let's pray, and then we'll take a look at this passage. Father, in this busyness of our lives, we just want to pause and say thank you for your word. Help our minds to be clear. Help our spirits to be receptive. And may we learn and grow from looking at your word tonight. Bless this time, I pray. Give me the words you want for me to say from your word. In Jesus' name, amen. So let's look at this word, watch, together. So in the English language, the word watch has several different meanings, doesn't it? And we know the definition, or we know the meaning of the word by its definition and by its context. So I would hold up my wrists and I would say, I'm wearing a watch. And you know what I'm talking about because you know the context of what I'm speaking of. It's the same in the Bible, in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, both. The word watch is used in many different ways. There's a lot of different words that are translated watch, and there are a lot of different words that are sometimes translated watch and sometimes translated something else. And so tonight, we're not going to go too deep. I know that probably that would be really boring for most of you, and so I won't do that, although I did do quite a bit of that study on my own because I enjoy doing that. But what I want to share with you is some of those times that the word watch is used in the scriptures, because I think it helps us understand when Jesus said watch, what he was saying to his disciples. So in the Old Testament, we have many uses of the word watch. And in the Old Testament, just as my watch on my arm marks time or measures time, so there are watches, or the word watch sometimes is used in the Old Testament to measure time. So in the Old Testament, and I won't spend a lot of time on this either because you can chase that down on your own. It's on your outline if you want to do a little research on that later. But the passages of Scripture that are there. In the Old Testament, in the Jewish tradition, there were three divisions of the day that marked measures of time. And so on every city wall, on some of the more prominent of farmers whatever those big accommodations of land is. What am I trying to say? So any of those big plantations, that's what I'm trying to go for, in an agrarian society. So they would sometimes put a tower or watch stations on their property lines, and they would put slaves in those. Soldiers manned the ones on the cities, and even on some of the major roads in the Old Testament where those roads would intersect, they would have a watchtower, a watchman in that watchtower, and the shifts of those watchmen, the measurements of time, were called watches. So in the Old Testament, you have three different divisions of that shift work. Watches, today in our time, in our industrial society, we call them shifts. We work shifts. Well, they worked watches. And so in the New Testament, by the time Jesus was on the earth, in the Roman culture, there were four watches in a day. And I have the passages there where you can research a few of those. There's other passages that refer to that. So one of the ways in which the word watch is used is to measure time. I also have on here, and if you will turn to Hebrews 13, just hold your place in Matthew, because we'll be coming back to that, but I'd like to chase a few scriptures with you tonight, as time allows. In Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 17, sometimes our pastors and teachers are referred to as watchmen. And I wanted to point that out because it is helpful to us to know, even in today's world, as we have our pastor and he's away on vacation. He'll come back to us, and he teaches us. Well, he's in the scriptures called a watchman. Verse 7 of Hebrews 13 says, remember those who rule over you. So there's a remembrance of those who've gone before. And in verse 17, it is obey those who rule over you and be submissive, for they watch out for your soul. So pastors and teachers, those people who present God's word to us, are called watchmen. They are, that's another way that the word watch is used. So not only a measurement of time, but that actual person who does the watching. Well, there are more examples in the scriptures. So to guard, Matthew chapter 27, 65 and 66, but the one that we all know so well is Luke 2 and verse 8, where the shepherds were out in the field keeping watch over their flock. So they were guarding, another way that the word watch is used. It's used to protect in Nehemiah 4:9. Nehemiah is an interesting study because that word watch, when Nehemiah set people in a place to watch, he put citizens in those places and workers in a place to watch. Then we have to be on the lookout as another way that the word is used, Psalm 127:1. If you look at 127 and verse 1, unless the Lord builds the house, it's a very familiar verse, they labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord, there's the word, guards the city, and then it says the watchman stays awake in vain. So you have the word that means to be on a lookout, translated as watch. Psalm 130, verse 6 is just a page over. My soul waits for the Lord more than those who watch for the morning. Those who watch for the morning. So the idea there, the psalmist is saying, more than a person who looks forward to tomorrow. So every morning when I get out of bed, I know, I'm very much assured, well, all except for this last couple of weeks, that I'm going to see the sun. Well, we saw the sun today, didn't we? Yeah. But we go to bed at night, and do you ever think that the sun may not be there tomorrow? No, you expect the sun to be there. It's just like rain. You expect it. It's going to happen. You get out of bed, the sun is there. The psalmist is saying, and he's using this word watch to say, just like I know that the sun is going to be there, I watch, I wait for the Lord. So the word watch is used to be on the lookout. Then in the next one is to observe. We see that in Mark chapter 10 and verse 20. All these things I have observed from my youth. So the same word that's translated watch in some passages is translated to observe here in this passage. Hang with me. We're just about through this long list, and we'll get back to Matthew 26. But I want us to see all of the ways in which this word watch is used in the scripture, because it's important to understand what Jesus was saying. So the next one is to stay awake or to be aware or beware. And so you have many scriptures there that the word is translated watch in some places, and beware or take heed is another translation of that word in some passages of scripture. To peer into the distance, I do want to go back to 31 of Genesis and verse 49, because this passage helps us to see a different perspective of watch than we would normally think of, and it's really peering past the present is another way to say it. So in Genesis 31:49, also Mizpah, because he said, may the Lord... There's the word translated, watch between you and me when we are absent from one another. So this is where Laban and Jacob are together, and they're getting ready to separate. And as Jacob and Laban make their deal, and as they finalize the activity from there on, they know they're going to leave and they're going to be separated. And the word watch is used to say between the two of them that the Lord will watch or see the future between us, even though we will not be together. So it's a peer into the distance, or to see something into the future or beyond where what's here today, is another way in which the word watch is used. And then it's also used, and this is the last one we'll look at before we go back to Matthew's gospel, but excuse me, the word is also used in sinister intent, and so you see that in several passages. In Luke's gospel, chapter 6 and verse 7, pardon me. In Luke's gospel, chapter 6 and verse 7, you see, so the scribes and Pharisees, there's the word, watched him closely, whether he would heal on the Sabbath. They're talking about Jesus, whether he would heal on the Sabbath, that they might find accusation against him. So there's an intent for harm there. There's an intent for looking for something that's wrong. And so watch can be used in a positive way. It can be used also in a negative way. In Acts chapter 9, it's where Paul was in Damascus right after he had the experience on the Damascus road. And and the Bible says, and they watched the gates day and night to kill him. So obviously Paul's life was in danger, and people were watching him to find a way to take his life. So its sinister intent is the way that I've verbalized the way the word watch is used. Okay, how do you feel? You feel watched. Good. Because I'm watching you. And you're watching me. How about that? I know that's a lot of stuff, but I want you to have the scriptures there, and you can chase that on your own if you choose to. But the word watch is used in many different ways in our scriptures. And so most of the meanings of the word watch are encapsulated into the word that I'm now going to share with you, and that's the word gregorio. It's a Greek word that's in the passage of Matthew 26. It's in the passage. It is the word that's translated watch here. It's the same word that's translated watch in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8. But the word, this word, encapsulates a lot of those meanings. It does mean to stay awake. Sometimes in your Bible, when I read the scripture tonight, you may, in your translation, have read along with me and found the word to stay awake, or the words. Instead of where I read watch, your Bible may say to stay awake. And to stay awake is not a bad translation. And watch is not a bad translation, but what I find is that it's an incomplete translation. There's a lot more meaning behind that word that we don't see in our English language. And that's part of what I want to pursue tonight, is when Jesus said to his disciples, watch with me, what was he asking them to do? Now I want to go back and catch up just a little, because there's some background that we need to know before we pursue further into this passage. I already talked about verse 30, and when they had sung a hymn after the supper, they went to the Mount of Olives. So Jesus takes his disciples with him, and he leaves the dinner. We're not really sure how many people were at the dinner. There may have been, probably were, other people besides the disciples with him. Although, those were the primary guests. And so Jesus leaves the dinner and goes through the Kidron Valley, just outside the Jerusalem wall that sits on the edge of the Kidron Valley. The valley drops down about 100 to 120 feet outside the walls of Jerusalem. So he would walk down with his disciples down this fairly steep hill. About a half a mile would start the ascent up the other side of the Kidron Valley. And there even today, there are olive trees and olive groves that they say, I wasn't there, but they say are about 2,000 years old. Now, there's a lot of new olive groves over there also today, but the olive groves have been all over this place, this hillside, called the Mount of Olives for thousands, a couple thousand years. And so Jesus would leave Jerusalem after the dinner, and Luke's gospel says to us, as he was accustomed to doing. So when he would go, when Jesus would say, you know, I'm not even sure that after dinner he even told them, we're going to go to the Mount of Olives, they would have expected it. It would have been the norm. And so Jesus, on his way, I can only imagine, it doesn't say at what point, but at some point as Jesus was going to the Mount of Olives before he reached that, that's when 31 happens. And Jesus said to them, all of you will be made to stumble because of me. And he was quoting an Old Testament passage. You know what Old Testament passage he was quoting? It was Zechariah chapter 3, 17. And Jesus quotes that passage, I will strike the shepherd, the sheep of the flock will be scattered. And what did the disciples say about that? Not going to happen. Not going to happen. Jesus said, I'll go ahead before you to Galilee, and he did. And then in verse 33, Peter speaks up, bless his heart, and says, I will never be made to stumble. Jesus said to him, and surely I say to you, before the night is over, the rooster will crow, and you'll deny me three times. And Peter said to him, but don't miss that Peter wasn't by himself, because the next phrase is, so said all the disciples, even if I have to die with you, I will not deny you. It's important to understand the words of Jesus before he gets to the garden to know the context of the word when Jesus says, stay here and watch with me. Jesus came to the place of Gethsemane, so he pushes past the olive trees into the olive grove, and into the deep of the olive grove, there is the Garden of Gethsemane. And I can only imagine that Jesus pushes through that gate. Now, there's 11 disciples with Jesus at this time. It was during the dinner that Jesus turns to Judas, do you remember? And says to him, whatever you're going to do, go do it. Do it quickly. And Judas left. So Jesus has 11 disciples with him. And he walks through the gate, and the 11 disciples follow him. And then a very interesting thing happens. Jesus turns to the disciples, the 11 disciples, and says to 8 of them, you sit here while I go over there. And he turns to Peter, James, and John, the ones that had seen Jesus in the Transfiguration, now get a special invitation to go a little further with Jesus as he goes a little deeper into the garden. And the Bible says, and he became sorrowful and deeply distressed. And he said to them, the three, my soul is extremely stressed down. They had just gone through an olive grove. It was very familiar to the disciples what Jesus was saying. I feel like an olive being pressed in the olive press. Jesus said, even to the point of death. And then there are these words. And Jesus says, stay here and watch with me. So in the most intimate moment, in the most distressing time of Jesus' life, in the time of expectation, of fear and dread, Jesus turns to his disciples, the three disciples, and says, "Stay here and watch with me." I noticed the word, not only is it watch, he didn't ask him to watch him. He didn't say, "Watch me." He was asking his disciples to do something with him. Jesus had an intention, and he invited those three disciples to do what he was going to do with him. "Watch with me," are the words that Jesus spoke. And he went a little further, and he fell on his face and prayed and said, and you're familiar with these words, "Oh, my Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will." And this is such a beautiful study. I've studied this in the past, and it's been such a rich blessing to me. But we're not really looking at the prayer of Jesus and all of the compression of soul that he was going through at this time. Tonight, we're looking at this direction of Jesus at that most critical moment where he turns to his most trusted disciples and asks them to stay here and watch with me. And he went on further and prayed. John 17 details that very much. And Jesus, in verse 40, came to his disciples and found them. They were asleep. They were tired. Jesus said to Peter, "What? Could you not watch with me 1 hour?" So there's a couple thoughts that I have as I've read this passage and as I was studying watch, and I don't want to go over the top of them because it was meaningful to me as I studied, and I want to share it with you. But I found myself thinking about, if I were with Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, if I were one of the 11, and I'd ask you this question, based upon your walk with Jesus today, based upon my walk with Jesus, would I be one of the ones that he said, "Stay here," or would I have been invited to go with him and watch with him? That's the first question I asked myself. The second question that I asked myself was, would I have watched with Jesus for 1 hour? It's so easy, isn't it, to critique this time and these disciples. But I have to ask myself, do I spend an hour with Jesus? When was the last time I took an hour and spent it with Jesus? Jesus said, "I have this spiritual intention." See, the word "watch" typically is a physical action word. It's what I do with my eyes. It's how I see. It's all those things that are on that list that we went through. But when Jesus gets to the Garden of Gethsemane and when he teaches his disciples here, it's more than a physical word. It's not a physical action word anymore. It's a spiritual intention word. And Jesus says to Peter, could you not watch with me for an hour? And Jesus is going to go back and pray again. But before he goes, he gives a very clear, specific direction to his three followers. And he says to them, he adds to the word watch. In verse 41, he says, watch and pray. So what did Jesus ask of his disciples to do when he said, watch with me? Well, one of the things he was asking them to do was to pray. To watch and pray. And then you look at this scripture, and there's two reasons why Jesus is asking them to watch and pray. There's two warnings. The first one is directly after that. Lest you enter into temptation. What was the temptation? What was getting ready to happen? You remember what happens next in the garden. Judas appears, he kisses Jesus on the cheek. They have a little thing where they're going to take care of Jesus. They're going to guard him. Jesus says, no. Put your sword back. And the next thing you know is Jesus is all by himself. The temptation that Jesus was driving at with them was, you are going to be in a position where you will decide to deny me. And Jesus' words to them were, watch and pray so you won't deny me. I was in an airport with Debbie not long ago. We were in an international airport. And you know the drill of what you do with an airport. You know, you take your stuff out of your bag, the computer comes out, and your shoes come off, your belt comes off, your pants don't fall down, you know, all that kind of good stuff. You go through the security, and you get to the other side, and you get your junk back, and you go. Well, we had done exactly what I knew to do. My shoes were off. My bag was, you know, good. And I like my computer bag. I bought it on purpose to take on trips to carry my computer with me. And it's got a little place for my wallet. It's got a little place for my passport. I mean, it's a great little bag. I just love that bag. And so I get there to the airport, and I take my junk out of my bag that I'm supposed to, and I put it in a bin just exactly the way they want it put in a bin, and it takes off, and it goes through that little machine. And I walk through, and I'm good. No beepers, no buzzers, none of that stuff. And I go to the other end, and I stand there, and I look back, and I have a few things that have come down the little line, and so I start to stick my stuff back in. When I look kind of out of the top of my vision and I see this guy pick up my bag. Now, he's a security guy. And he picks up the bag and I go, oh boy. You know the feeling? You ever been there? And that guy says, whose bag is this? I don't know what I was doing, but I was in that bag. I was doing stuff. And I didn't look up. And I thought to myself, you know, if he really wants me, and if that's my bag, and he really wants to know whose bag it is, he's going to ask again. You know what he did? Whose bag is this? A second time. I like my bag. I wanted to take my bag with me. And so I had to say, it's my bag. It's not important for the passage we're looking at, but just so you know, when you go through Delhi Airport, you have to take out every phone cord, every power pack, and anything that ties to anything electronic at all. It's all got to come out of the bag. Here's the point. When I, in that split second, in that moment, wasn't very proud of my bag, that is the warning that Jesus was giving to his disciples when he said, watch and pray so you won't deny me. Because I, like you, in my everyday life, have those split seconds, those moments in time, those things that cross my mind when I know I should say, I'm a follower of Jesus. I know I should say, do you know Jesus loves you? And in that second, I don't say a word. Jesus was telling his disciples, there is gonna come a second when you will have to make a decision. And the only way you cannot deny me is if you watch with intention and you pray and you're ready for that decision. I'm convinced I live here just like all of you do, and I'm convinced that Dan doesn't respond and denies Jesus. If you count keeping my mouth closed when I should speak, if you count leaving the room so I don't have to tell somebody about Jesus or I don't have to listen, and that's denying Jesus. You agree with that? And Jesus said to watch and pray, because if you aren't ready for that decision, you will do exactly what the disciples do, just like I do occasionally when I deny Jesus. Jesus said, if you don't want to live there, then watch and pray. And the second thing he said is, indeed, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Jesus wasn't giving us a cop-out. He wasn't giving us an excuse. He wasn't giving us a reason. What he was saying to his disciples was, if you do the normal, if you do the routine, you remember? They went with Jesus to the olive grove and into the Garden of Gethsemane like it was normal. You know what the disciples were thinking about? Breakfast. They were thinking about sleep and tomorrow. And Jesus looked at them and said, you get so wrapped up in what you routinely do. You get so caught up in thinking that you're strong enough that you do not spiritually pay attention and live with intention, and you don't pray with intention. Jesus says to the disciples, your flesh, your body, your humanness is weak. We all know that. We live in a body. Jesus said, the spirit indeed, it's forward. It thinks forward. The spirit of God sees forward. But your flesh, where you are, where I am, where we live, our flesh is weak. to watch in this passage, Jesus was saying, is to live with spiritual intention. And again, a second time, he went away and prayed. You have the words there, your will be done, verse 43. And he came back again and found them sleeping. And Jesus' response in verse 45 is, are you still sleeping and resting? Now, I'm about to close. But I want us to remember. Jesus was not teaching these words on the hillside to the multitudes on the hillside of Galilee. He never said, watch and pray to the multitudes. He did not say, watch and pray in the synagogue to the priests and to the religious people. What he said, watch and pray, who he said watch and pray to, was to his most intimate followers. Because Jesus knows that we better watch with spiritual intention our life and pray, for crying out loud, an hour, or we will not stand up for Jesus. Because our flesh, our humanness, is weak. And the words Jesus spoke, watch and pray, were to three men who had followed him intensely for all of this time. And Jesus' words of watch and pray were spoken to these few. The challenge for me is, I want everybody else to watch and pray. I'm mad at America. I'm mad at the people of the church. I'm mad at everybody because I want them to be different. But Jesus' words were to the three, to the few, and his words weren't fix the world. His words were fix me. Watch and pray. How you doing with that? Watch and pray. Simple, direct. Father, I so much love your word, and I so much love the direction that you give, that it's not for everybody else, but it's for me to just watch and pray. God, help me to be better at that this week and through the rest of my days. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. God bless you all. Thanks for being here.